Okay, today is Thursday, October 3rd, 2019. It's 9:48 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And on the phone we have...
Patty Begar.
Okay. Patty, I believe I had contacted you.
Yes.
And this is in regards to a Facebook group. The situation being that Patty's daughter had received the Gardasil vaccine. And approximately what year would that be? Just an approximation.
I'm guessing it was probably 2012.
Okay. So approximately 2012, Patty's daughter had received the vaccine. And she was approximately how old at that time?
She had just turned 21 or something.
Okay. And do you know the reason why she received the vaccine? Was it an advertisement? Did you...
Because her doctor told her she needed it.
Did her... Now, Patty wasn't... I'm sorry, your daughter was an adult at that time at 21.
Yeah.
Do you know if she was told anything about the vaccine that it could be... There could be a problem if she had previously had a problem with her immune system?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Do you know the
reason? And they would have known that she had a problem with her immune system because of her tumor, her pituitary tumor, and her records dating back when she had meningitis in ninth grade.
So approximately in ninth grade, she had meningitis, and mm-hmm. she was treated for that successfully?
Yes.
Okay, and they did...
And then that... Age 19, she developed a pituitary tumor the size of a golf ball on her pituitary gland.
Okay.
And they used medication to shrink it.
Okay, so she was successfully treated for that also. And that would have been on her record?
Yes.
And would that doctor who gave her the vaccine, would he have access to her records?
I would believe so, yes.
Okay. Was this...
I think it was the same doctor treating her for her pituitary gland or her pituitary tumor.
Okay. Do you recall if your daughter was seriously dating at that time?
Dating? She had a boyfriend. Yeah.
Okay. And what I'm getting by dating, and I, you know, without... coming right out and saying,
right.
Was she intimate with him? Do you believe?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, she received the vaccine. What happened after that? Start taking it from there.
She was living on her own. Everything was fine. And then I want to say probably, I don't know, a month to 3 months later, she had her first seizure. And she had the grand mal seizures. So, and so then after that, I mean, we couldn't figure out. I mean, seizures don't run in my side or her dad's side of the family. So we just.
This is not a family trait or characteristic or something that.
No.
Okay. And she never had a seizure prior to this?
No.
And there's no family history of seizures?
No.
Okay. And if you would continue then, please.
And then after her first seizure, we moved her back home because she couldn't drive and she needed to work. So I was driving her back and forth to work. So, and then it was probably, I want to say about a month later, her boyfriend who she had been living with, was, like I said, he was stationed or he was in the reserves. And prior to her seizure, he had come home after his weekend because he was like a weekend warrior, I guess is what they call him.
Sure.
He came home and said that they had pumped him full of vaccinations. And so after Christy had her seizure, we moved her home. He moved back to his parents' house. And a month later, he had a seizure. And so we were trying to figure out what did you guys do? I mean, why are you guys having seizures now all of a sudden? You know, and Christy was the one that actually kind of put it together that she thought that maybe it was because of that vaccination. And so at that particular time, I went on the internet to look up the side effects from the vaccination.
Yes.
And that's when I saw that the number one side effects is seizures. And so that's kind of how we kind of put two and two together.
Did you go to any particular site, or this was a discussion group, or perhaps?
I just went on whatever WebMD or whatever to look up the vaccinations and the side effects from it. And had I known that she was going to get that vaccination, because, you know, she was an adult and lived on her own, so she did this all on her own. But had I known that she was going to do that, I always have researched the vaccinations before giving them to my children. I probably would have told her not to get it, just because there's so many side effects on it.
That's being due caution, or showing due caution,
yeah,
as a parent. But it's hard when you let the children out and they're on their own and they themselves believe the doctors that, you know, perhaps may not be giving them the total picture. Your daughter had been treated for cancer before. For a tumor?
A pituitary tumor. It was non-cancerous.
Okay. Regarding the seizures, this is consistent with the several hundred families that I've dealt with whose family members have gotten the vaccine and do have seizures. It seems that, well, for instance, not that far away from me, there's a family who have a brother and sister, approximately a year apart. The daughter, approximately the third month, roughly 89 days after she received the vaccine, the Gardasil HPV vaccine, quadrivalent, went ahead and had a seizure. She was at home at the time. She fell down and lost consciousness, and went to school the next day with her, you know, a black eye and her face, kind of bruised up a bit. Child mm-hmm. Protective Services was immediately called. They started an investigation. The son, 3 days later, on the 92nd day approximately, while in school, same school, had a seizure. So now you have the daughter and the son, both of them having seizures. So wow. When you say that, and yet seizures in some of the families don't occur until maybe 2 years later.
Yeah.
But it's the same pattern. Now, the people who are most susceptible typically are families who, there's some Irish ancestry or Northern or Western European ancestry. Mm-hmm. And the characteristic is, may I ask you, does your family or members of your family and your daughter, prior to her untimely death, did she hardly ever get sick?
Yeah, all growing up, she was never sick, really.
Okay, this is that characteristic. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, except for the meningitis and the pituitary tumor.
Now, the meningitis, did she receive, and I do apologize, you may not have this at your fingertips, but did she receive any other vaccines at the time that she went ahead and received the Gardasil?
Not that I'm aware of. No, I don't think so, because she was up to date on all her vaccines. So,
okay.
She was up to date on all her vaccines except for that one. And I didn't even think about it. You know, I was kind of thinking that she was too old to get it anyway, because they were targeting more younger, you know, children.
Well, you bring up a good point, and the warning that should have been given to her was that the warning that should have been given to her, which is a warning that was in the patent for the HPV vaccine, that if you if you're exposed to HPV, your chances of getting the vaccine works in reverse. Basically, you have a 44.6% increased chance now of getting cancer.
This, oh wow! And
yeah. So what they're saying is, the HPV 16 virus causes cancer. That's what Merck is claiming, or the doctors that are, you know, pushing this vaccine. They're claiming that this causes cancer, and therefore there's a problem with people who have been exposed. That if you've been exposed, it works just the opposite, meaning that you're 44.6% more likely that this virus will take over, this quote cancer causing virus unquote. I'll leave it to Merck. Now, was your daughter's death in any way reported to theirs?
No. Okay. No.
I would request that you go ahead to the VAERS, V-A-E-R-S, look them up, and fill out the form.
Okay, it's V.
V-A-E-R-S.
E-R-A-S.
Okay. Right. Or VAERS stands for Vaccine Adverse Effect Reporting System.
VAERAS?
Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System.
Okay.
VAERS, I believe.
Okay.
You should be able to look that up and file an online report. Or they may have a phone line that you can speak with someone. Right now, Merck is claiming on their website, their official website, Merck Manual Professional Version. If you look that up, Merck Manual Professional Version, and look up HPV, according to Merck, there are no adverse complaints, no adverse events reported.
Yeah.
Okay? So,
yeah.
Unfortunately, since the U.S. government is using taxpayer dollars to buy, I looked up 2007, around 2008, they spent $10 million. Or did they buy 10 million doses? I think it's 10 million doses. And they mentioned that the previous year, you know, this is just similar to what they spent the previous year. So based on $200 a dose, I'm not sure how much the government paid. Maybe they paid more, maybe they paid less. But that is a heck of a lot of money. So this vaccine is supposed to be their cash cow to replace what they lost, you might say. From Vioxx, the drug that apparently caused somewhere near, I've heard different estimates, one of them being roughly 180,000 heart attacks. And again, they had nothing officially reported, supposedly. But apparently during this trial in Australia, there was some indication that there were 5 years there were five-year-old memos to the extent that, you know, heart attacks were involved. So anyway, Merck is not running a complete disclosure, the safety of the vaccine. There's another issue that I believe Robert F. Kennedy, uncovered and made public the fact that there was supposed to be safety reports handed in from 1986 on, no later than 2 years apart, addressing the safety, you know, an update on the vaccines.
Yeah.
There's supposedly not one turned in. So, Wow. Yeah. And the only reason that that 1986 Act came about was, well, people at that time were getting million-dollar awards, court awards, because their children were getting autism from vaccines. So
Yes. This
is what the findings are. You don't know too much of what happened, but prior to the vaccine or shortly after, but when your daughter started having seizures, that's when you became a firsthand observer. Would it be safe to say that? Okay. And what did you observe? Did she have any headaches? Did she have any head pressure? Did she complain about fatigue?
Yeah, severe headaches. I mean, and yeah, the fatigue was really bad.
Okay.
The nauseation, you know, her whole body just hurt.
So there were pain was an issue. And was it just in joints? Was it some skin, even the skin itself, or?
Because of the seizure medication that she was taking, she developed rosacea on her face. And she was taking, I think it was 17 pills a day to control her seizures.
Okay, and these are seizures that she had. I need to repeat this. There was absolutely no family history of seizures. She never had a seizure prior to the vaccine. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, when I did some genetic sequencing back in 2013, I found some things that were quite disturbing to me. One of them was when I looked at the alignments, when I started taking the... Okay, they take the vaccine to make it, they go ahead and they take a sexually transmitted disease and extract, or they grow the virus, the HPV. Let's just talk about 16, HPV 16. They don't take the whole virus. They take a protein from the virus, the L1 protein that has a lot of information on it, and they glue it basically to an aluminum substrate, the amorphous aluminum hydroxyphosphate sulfate, the adjuvant.
So right.
The HPV 16 is the antigen, the glue that they use, and I'm using loose terms to make it very, very simple. The glue that they use effectively forms a non-conformal B as in boy binding. A non-conformal B binding means that there's nothing typically in the body that can break it down. That becomes problematic. So now the thing is stuck together.
Right.
And it's not going to come out. Now, the problem that comes about is in a person who never had or very rarely gets sick, they typically have a lot of viruses in them. Somewhere back in their history of the Vikings or the by the way, what nationalities are you? What nationality was she?
My father was full-blooded Irish, so, and my mom was full-blooded Norwegian.
Ouch.
And so Christy was Irish, Norwegian, and then her father was Tlingit Indian, Alaskan.
Okay, that brings up a very touchy point, because I found that the Native Americans typically, I don't want to say the kiss of death, that's a wrong term to use. Irish is typically, okay, you have a blood type, you know, A-O, A-B, whatever.
Right.
Okay, your immune system has a type also, and this is called a haplotype, H-A-P-L-O-T-Y-P-E.
Mm-hmm.
So if ever you're going to get a transplant, you need to match the haplotype. In other words, you want an immune system with roughly the same activity as the, you know, for the donor and whoever and the recipient. So unfortunately, most or many of the Irish have this particular haplotype, HLA-DRB1, DQ series, DR series.
Mm-hmm.
And Unfortunately, this goes ahead, and it's associated with higher amounts of problems when you vaccinate someone. And typically these kids, especially those who also have Norwegian parents, Finnish in that northern area, Swedish, they have higher pathogen loads, meaning that their immune system works a little bit different than what's being described in the textbooks. Basically, their immune system is like a wolf pack with a higher pathogen, the stronger ones, keeping the lesser ones under control. So they typically don't get sick in the way that we think of getting sick, where, oh, you're running a fever. You know, there's, you know, maybe 2 or 3 days before they get better. These people typically, well, it may be a matter of hours or maybe a day or so where they're sick or they feel a little out of sorts. But that's it. Because what's happening, this new pathogen, the new kid on the block, he doesn't even get to go on the block. He just starts coming in. It's like a thief in the night, you know, in a dark street where they go into a bar and, you know, he's going to rob the place. So he breaks in the door. He shoves himself in there and takes a look around. He just broke into a biker bar with a bunch of cops in it. And they rip him up ear to ear and arms and leg and throw the remainder of the, what pieces are left, they throw out in the street. He's done for. He never gets a chance to infect the system because this system is so heavily in a state of, it's called homeostasis, basically what it is. It's called immune tolerance. The body has everything, all these higher amounts of germs and viruses and protozoa and spirochetes and everything else, but they're all balanced out. Everyone knows its place and they don't, you know, go out of its place unless you start putting a vaccine in there. The vaccines that they use, especially the one in the Gardasil, is a very strong vaccine. It makes the vaccine very strong and really overshoots the immune system. As a matter of fact, 5-6 years later, the amount of antibodies being produced by someone who receives all three shots compared to a normal person who gets this HPV virus and it's over with.
Wow.
They're 10 times, they're producing 10 times as many antibodies. Unfortunately, if she were to get all three shots, at the 6 month, at the end of the last shot, for the next month or so, her immune system is ramped up so that it's going to be producing 104 times as many antibodies.
Wow.
Unfortunately, and here's what I want you to consider, the adjuvant is broad spectrum. It just doesn't raise her antibody production to what's in the vaccine, the antigens and these little HPV virus-like particles. It raises her total immune system, raises it to everything. And unfortunately, since about 60% of her immune system is in the gut, if a food protein particle comes through the gut and comes in contact with these hyperactivated immune cells in the lining of the gut, she could form antibodies to her favorite foods.
Wow.
So, next question I'm going to ask, did she have any problems with digestion?
She did a little bit. I mean, it depended on what it was that she ate, you know.
And this is
spicy foods and stuff like that. She'd have problems with her stomach.
Okay. And in retrospect, foods that had higher levels of binding proteins called lectins. In other words, if she were to eat perhaps beans or raw vegetables instead of cooked, did she sometimes maybe have, well, you mentioned she had problems, but it's been so long ago, you probably would not, you know, remember a meal from years ago now. So this, it'd be unfair to ask you this. I do apologize. But do you remember any bouts of constipation, possibly, or diarrhea?
Yes, I do. Okay. I do remember that.
The constipation in these kids, from the feedback from doctors and clinics and hospitals, basically, many of these kids are diagnosed with sepsis.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something I need you to possibly add to her record and or with her file. And this may help explain what may have happened. And I need you to pull an abstract from the internet. It wasn't published until 2014. And okay. That abstract is titled Sepsis Reactivates Multiple Viruses. Sepsis reactivates multiple viruses.
Say that one more time.
Okay, sepsis, S-E-P-S-I-S.
S-E-P-S-I-S.
Sepsis. Reactivates. Okay. Reactivates.
Reactivate.
Multiple.
Okay.
Viruses. Okay. And then you can put in, that should bring it up. If it doesn't bring it up right away, it should bring up, you just add NIH for National Institute of Health. That'll take you right over to the government website. It should be up there.
Am I looking at the WWNCBI-NLM?
That's the one. That's the one you want.
Okay.
Okay. Bookmark that and print it out at a later date or whatever you want to do. But I would strongly suggest you include that because that's one of the keys to this. It is extremely difficult for a doctor to be able to go ahead and find one particular virus when you may have 20 or more reactivated. You may reactivate if she's basically stated whatever she has been exposed to in her life can be reactivated.
Wow.
So, and here's how it happens. Instead of her, well, she's an adult. She probably has somewhere near maybe 50 billion cells being mm-hmm. recycled every day. So what happens, along comes this vaccine that her immune system, typically in these kids, it's an immune tolerance. It's homeostasis. It's balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Now this vaccine goes in there and starts pulling out different things. And unfortunately, many of these viruses may be keeping something else under control. So what I found that not only reactivated viruses, these kids are coming out with typically Lyme disease, you know, bands, like 41, 39, they're there. Some of them are actually CDC positive where they have all five bands. But here again, there's different varieties of Lyme that are being discovered. And then you go back and you think, well, did this person actually look? If it smells like a rose, looks like a rose, gives the symptoms of a rose, chances are it's Lyme. So not only Lyme, but other spirochetes, protozoa. An acquaintance, Dr. Stephen Fry, I called him a long time ago. It was one of the first things I asked him. He had found a bug that was associated with the southwest part of the United States. And he had found that about 85% of the people, long-term residents, had been exposed to this. And, they were kind of sluggish and all this kind of stuff and, strange symptoms. He traced it down to a mosquito. And he looked at this protozoa and he developed a test for it, submitted it to the FDA. At that time, it was called FL. F as in Frank, L as in London, 1953. And when it was formally recognized, he then renamed it Protozoa rheumatica.
Mm-hmm.
P-R-O-T-O-Z-O-A, rheumatica. Anyway, I'm finding that some of these kids way in the northern part, northeastern part, up in New York, they also are having, this protozoa. In addition to, bands of Lyme, in addition to all kinds of viral and bacterial infections, the problem is when you have chronic level of viruses, it can affect the meninges. And now you have meningitis all over again. possible seizures. You have a lot of things. Basically, whatever she was exposed to, that stuff doesn't die. As a matter of fact, if you go to explain it to a class, look, the body is constantly revaccinating itself every single day. Because these cells, you've got 50 billion breaking apart and being reassembled into new cells every single day. That means that the immune system, these cells, they contain a little bit of virus. They contain maybe some type of spirochete or protozoa in the center of the cell. It's dormant. It's latent. It's there. But when it breaks apart and spills out into the blood, then immune cells can then go ahead, recognize that, and make antibodies to it. And you are, you know, basically revaccinated. I'm putting this very simply.
Right.
But no, you get the idea.
I totally understand what you're saying.
Yeah. And
it makes total sense.
But it's so simple.
Yeah.
It's so very simple. Now, these cells in the body also have little compartments in it, in them, I should say. And they will mop up heavy metals. They'll go ahead, they'll maybe absorb a little bit of, glyphosate. And from Roundup and what have you. But nobody's really talking too much about glyphosate. So I went ahead and started reverse engineering what's actually going on. They're associating it with cancer. Well, you know, what does the body do as far as, you know, looking for cancer? Well, one of the things it does, it compares the DNA of a cell that replicates to make sure that the replicant is an exact copy of the original. Well, this is the semaphorin that does that. Well, okay, what does the semaphorin need? Well, it needs this H3K4 trimethylation. Well, what's needed for the H3K4 trimethylation? Copper. Really? Okay, copper is also used and necessary for the differentiation or, you know, helping the body decide when cells are made, blood cells, by bone marrow. Copper is needed to decide how many of these and what, you know, how many of them are going to become stem cells. Aha. So the body can make its own stem cells? Yes, but it needs copper. You won't find them in vitamins, typically, or, you know, many minerals, because copper is looked on as, oh, it might promote growth of cells, such as cancer. Well, yeah, but it's also necessary in the body in small amounts. So what does glyphosate do? It stops plants from going ahead, according to the literature as of this date. It stops plants from going ahead and taking up lots of copper. Now they may be deficient in copper. So we're going to eat these vegetables that are deficient in copper. And then the glyphosate, we go ahead and eat a bowl of oatmeal or crops that are sprayed with this Roundup. And now we find the bacteria in our gut. We become short, deficient in copper. So when I start looking at this, vaccines. Vaccinate a young child. Go ahead, create problems with copper. And bingo, leukemia. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This is getting a little too much. Okay, so, yeah. So I thought, well, let me look around and see if, for instance, semaphorin 7, S-E-M-A for short, you abbreviate it. But if you spell it out, if you were to Google semaphorin, S-E-M-A-P-H-O-R-I-N, semaphorin, S-E-M-A-P-H-O-R-I-N, space number space
and
seven, yeah. The number seven. Put another space in there, leukemia, and then hit enter. I should be able to find something about maybe possibly hoping to find something on, you know, a peer reviewed and published abstract that leukemia is associated with semaphorin 7. And bingo, it's there.
Wow.
Yeah. See, this is where if you start tracing things back and you have a pretty fair knowledge of what the body is making and what it's, what can happen if it's short on something. Now, let me go ahead and disclose this. When you have any type of, constipation is a red flag that the body is typically lacking something. It's not absorbing something. So the nutrient goes in, and the body can't absorb enough of it, so it squeezes and squeezes and squeezes. It tries to hold on to that nutrient before it goes out the back end. Mm-hmm. But it tries to squeeze as much nutrients out of that as possible. Wow. If it can't get it, it keeps on squeezing. And is that simple? Darn right. It's that simple. Don't look at something like constipation. Don't look at that as just, oh, take Miralax or take this, that, or the other thing. No. Because if you're going to flush out the nutrients even faster, that means the body can even, it has even less to absorb. Let me throw this at you, Patty. She has no gut issues. She has no pain. She's not being, you know, her gut isn't swollen or anything. So under normal circumstances, she absorbs, you know, she takes in 100. The gene processes maybe 50% of that, 100 milliliters, and she makes maybe 50% or 50 milliliters of a hormone. 100% goes in, gene is only half efficient, 50%, so 50% goes out. But her body only needs 40 milligrams of this enzyme or hormone to thrive. Her body's happy, so she.
Yeah.
Now, what happens if you go in and you make the gut so sensitive that it may start forming allergies to food proteins? That food protein comes in there and it's going to go ahead and maybe cause inflammation. Not only that, mm-hmm. it's going to trigger what's called antigen-presenting cells, APC. Antigen-presenting cell. It's going to trigger these cells, a bunch of these antigen-presenting cells, to, once they see a food that they normally was, you know, they loved, but now it forms an allergy. So the antigen-presenting cells now are trained to go after her favorite foods. So the antigen-presenting cells, next time that food comes in, it'll go ahead and identify it. Oops, this is foreign. We got to do something about it. So these antigen-presenting cells are going to trigger mast cells, MAST, to produce histamine. And the reason that it's going to produce histamine is because the histamine is going to be used to dilate blood vessels so that these toxins can then get out more quickly. We don't sweat too much. So the times when it's colder, she's maybe going to keep these toxins in.
Right.
One of the big things that would happen to a person who's undergoing this type of a situation, the histamine that's being, the elevated amount of histamine, can then mm-hmm. go ahead and keep that person awake. Because histamine is given off when you exercise, too, to open up or dilate blood vessels so that you can force more nutrients and more oxygen in there. But one of the things it's going to do is keep you awake. It's also going to trigger the inflammation from the gut is going to trigger, it's going to trigger stress hormones. So even cortisol may be off, and cortisol, higher amounts of cortisol will keep the pineal gland from producing melatonin. Do you remember if your daughter was able to sleep for a good maybe 8, 9, 10 hours if she wanted to? Solid sleep.
No. She had a hard time sleeping.
Okay. And did she have a hard time staying asleep if she did get to sleep?
Yeah.
Okay. This is typically what I'm looking for. And this is typically caused by histamine. But the big problem with histamine that I warn every family about, and I do apologize, I can't warn you. If she were to go take a hot shower, then she runs the risk of dilating blood vessels in her arms and legs, her extremities. Once that happened, she can lose consciousness in a hot shower.
Wow.
And that could be the cause
of the seizure in the shower.
Correct.
Wow. Gave me a lot of information that I had no idea about. So, I mean,
I'm sorry, Patty, to go ahead and dump this on you all at once, but you probably had this in your mind for years. What's going on? What happened? This is only a small amount of what happened to your daughter, and I do apologize. But I'm just learning a lot of this myself. It took 10 years to find this much out. Now, I'm not saying that that is exactly what happened, and that none of this is to be construed as medical advice or legal advice.
Right. And I understand that.
Or used for diagnosing purposes, but putting all of this together, what's happened with other girls, you know, and what the feedback that I've gotten from doctors and so on and so forth. And believe me, I get calls from all over the world. Even Health Canada, one doctor called regarding an 11-year-old girl for diffuse pigmented synovitis. I mean, this you don't see maybe in women, you know, who are maybe, you know, 70s or so or older, but
right,
not in a young girl. And this is what's happening, 11 years old. The joint, you do an x-ray and you can see something's in there. It looks, you know, anyway, I won't go into that too much. But your daughter, did she ever complain about being cold? Maybe cover
all
up
the time
with blank. Okay. So,
yeah, she was always cold.
So she, and being, you know, older now, and she passed away when she was, around
27.
So here again at 27, you teach your kids and your little pups to be, you know, independent. And if she's feeling faint in the shower, she may have felt that way before. And she knows that, well,
yeah,
I'll just rinse off some soap and I'll get out. But in the fact that these kids tend to be cold, you know, they're going to want maybe a warmer shower to try to warm up. But if they're dehydrated and the blood is pooling in the core of the body, in the center of the body, you can see where this could lead to a catastrophic, you know, sequence of events.
Yeah.
You know, blood pressure going down and losing consciousness, and then she can't help herself beyond that. And she doesn't want to be a burden to mom, probably. You know, that's how kids usually are, you know, and try to pull her own weight. But, you know, but yeah, there's a lot of things that can happen. And I just walked down one scenario with you. If you want to quit here, that's fine. I understand.
If I want to what?
If you want to just, you know, quit at this point or cut the conversation, you know, short, I understand.
Okay.
If you want to continue, there are probably so many things. The one thing that I do want to, you know, leave you with and for you to remember is you brought her up wanting the best for her. And you taught her to seek out the best from professionals, from medical professionals, and probably trust doctors. And, you know, with many things that, you know, she experienced in the, you know, as far as medical problems, you know, she, you know, trusted her doctors. And she went ahead and listened to them that this HPV vaccine would have been the thing for her. Unfortunately, you know, there needs to be more warnings on here. It's a very dangerous vaccine. The group in in my estimation, it is one of the most dangerous vaccines.
Yeah.
Anything that... go ahead.
One of the problems I have with this vaccine is how they put it on TV in commercials.
Oh, it's a total
guilt
trip.
Did you know, Mom?
It's a total parental guilt trip.
It's just, every time I see that commercial, I just want to, scream out, did you know that you could end up with seizures or autoimmune disease or this or that from this vaccination? You know, people just don't understand. And, you know, you can sit and talk to a doctor about it. And I did talk to Christie's doctors about it. And they said, nope. The vaccine didn't cause this. And I'm thinking, but it says right there, if you read it, that number one is seizures. And they still would not back down on it. And it's, and they need to be, they need to start doing something about it, because there's so many kids now. I mean, I read about it every day, about young girls losing limbs and, you know, everything from this vaccination. And it's horrible. And they need to stop doing it.
Yeah. Patty, I joined the American Bar Association, I'll be honest, frankly, to get my law books cheaper. And
yeah.
But one of the things that you have to realize from the standpoint of a doctor, if he were to say that the vaccine that he knew about or he knows about the vaccine being perhaps problematic or defective or causing you know, major problems.
Right.
Do you think he could legally, what would happen if he gave a vaccine to another girl, if he admitted to you that he knew?
That he knew it.
Right.
I know.
So we have pretty much a good, let's call it a business model, where we don't say anything. And
yeah.
Instead, we're going to have, we're going to hire people like Vox.com, V-O-X.com. We're going to hire people from that website, and they're going to be called explainers. And then we'll hire some people from Megan Media, M-E-G-A-N Media.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they're influencers. So I, as a drug company, pharmaceutical company, I don't say anything. That
yeah.
way, nobody can go ahead and say, on such and such a date, I said this. I don't say anything.
Right.
I hear bad things about my product. I don't say anything.
Yeah.
And on my website, I also need you to, I would suggest you go ahead and pull down print or save it in a PDF file. Go to that Merck manual, the online, the professional version, and look up the HPV and print it out before they change it. That there's no,
I will.
Yeah, that there's no, you know, vaccine, and then no problem with the vaccine. Then I want you to go up and look at Vayer's reports. I think they're
okay,
up to
yeah.
I think they're
the
up,
online report.
Yeah, you're gonna file one, but you're all, there's also a way for you to search it. So all you have
okay.
to all you have to do is put in HPV vaccine, and you find roughly about a little under 10,000 people who report it. Now, it's interesting to note that doctors don't tell you about this. So you have to learn or find out from someone else. And you
right.
think the doctor is going to report, you know, your daughter's death? No, probably not.
And that's what I've been doing, is I've been putting it out on my Facebook that, you know, this is what I believe happened. And you know what? I've had people come up to me and say, God, had I not read that on your Facebook, I would have had my granddaughter vaccinated for this, or I would have had my daughter vaccinated for this. But because I read that, I went and did my own research, and now I am not choosing to have them vaccinated. I don't know how many people have come up and told me that. So, you know, all I can say is if I can just save one child from this vaccination, that's a good thing.
Patty, I'm so sorry for your loss. But you've been so good at explaining, you know, what happened with your daughter and to your daughter and how this tears up a family. And may I ask you, can I use a copy of this to go ahead?
Absolutely.
Okay. Patty, I'm also going to send you a copy or send you a link where you can download this copy. And you are free to do with it as you please. Okay?
Okay.
The only thing I request is that you leave in the part about there's a disclaimer. Nothing to be construed as medical or legal advice. Okay?
Okay. And then also I wanted to mention that when they did the autopsy on Christy, I wasn't quite understanding the autopsy report, so I called and talked to the coroner myself.
Yes.
And he went through it with me, and he said that Christy's brain was actually showing signs of dementia, the start of dementia, at 27 years old.
Wow.
So I don't know if that has anything to do with it either, but, you know,
there is, within the past 4 or 5 years, the discovery of the glymphatic system. And this is only part of the problem, but this is one of the most pronounced things that have been found or has been found within the past few years. The glymphatic system is the way that the brain drains itself of for instance, tau protein, and it cleanses itself. It cleans out. It's like the drain system.
Right.
Now, there's a slight problem. It doesn't work while you're awake. It only works. It's only 10% efficient while you stay awake.
Mm.
Okay, you're seeing writing on the wall now. Your daughter couldn't get to sleep.
Yeah.
So this glymphatic system, think of lymphatic, L-Y-M-P-H-A-T-I-C, and this you can look up later on, and then put a G in front of it for the glymphatic system.
Okay.
And there you'll have part of your answer also. So, you know, things, you know, tau protein is one, but beta amyloid plaque that they're associating with this, that's something else. Now,
yeah.
When the body releases histamine, it makes, well, let's say it makes Swiss cheese out of the blood-brain barrier.
Mm-hmm.
So that pretty much a lot of stuff can now go through the blood-brain barrier into the brain and perhaps lodge in there.
Yeah.
So, and then the glymphatic system isn't working, so you can't, really, it's not really flushing this stuff out. So you can see where, you know, it would be difficult for her to maybe even think, you know, if you were awake for 3 days straight and then given a math problem to do solely in your head.
Right.
Now you have some idea of how she felt pretty much every day.
Yeah, she was very foggy all the time. I mean, that's how she described it. I just feel foggy. I feel like, you know, my head hurts. My, you know, I'm tired. I always tired. She was always tired. She always, you know, but when she'd lay down to take naps or whatever, she could never fall asleep. So
what did these, what is the doctors, I mean, what did they diagnose her with when she came, for instance, back to the doctor? She was vaccinated. Who gave her the vaccination? Did he maybe do blood tests or blood panels on her?
No, because we switched doctors after her first seizure.
Excellent.
We switched doctors and went to with a neurologist to try to figure out what was going on and why she was having them.
Did you mention to the neurologist that she had the HPV vaccine?
Yes.
Did he then go ahead and mention to you that it's a lot of this is just in her head?
Pretty much, yeah.
I needed for you to say that because virtually any person who mentions that they had the HPV vaccine and goes to a neurologist, the majority come back with conversion disorder as a diagnosis. It's all in your head. So
Well, they didn't actually say that. They diagnosed her with the epilepsy, but basically, yeah.
Or that
when you mentioned the vaccination, they were just like, oh no, that isn't, I said, it says it right on the thing. How can you sit there and tell me that it didn't contribute to this?
Well,
and they would not do it at all. So
basically it was something else.
Yes.
And did anyone ever say that, oh, it was something your daughter is doing that's contributing to the problem?
Oh, yeah. Do you drink? Okay. Is it, how many drinks do you have a week? You know, well, maybe you shouldn't drink. And so she quit drinking. She didn't have anything to drink.
Now,
and still.
Was your daughter a heavy drinker? I mean, was there any reason to... Some of the girls will try, you know, alcohol, and it'll give them, it seems like it'll help get rid of some of these toxins. And see, there's a lot of things that maybe doctors aren't getting into. You know, they'll give suggest a cleanse. Go ahead.
It seemed to me that she would have more episodes of seizures when she wasn't drinking than when she was. And she wasn't a hard drinker. She'd go out with friends maybe once a week or something and have cocktails, you know, but it seemed that when she quit drinking, she had more seizures,
and
which didn't make sense.
Actually, it's consistent with what I'm finding, that exact same thing, because when you stimulate, when you take in alcohol, it stimulates the kidneys, let's use that term, stimulates, to go ahead and get rid of more toxins that you have built up in the blood.
Makes
so
sense.
So you flush a lot more of these things, let's just say.
I do know, and I'm going to tell you this as firsthand, I would never have believed it if I wouldn't have seen it for myself. One of her doctors suggested CBD for the seizures.
Yes.
So I was like, you know, I was very hesitant about it, you know, and we finally said, okay. I said, okay, we're going to go try this, you know. So we went and we got CBD oil, and her seizures went from being a grand mal seizures to actually her going, mom, I think I'm going to have a seizure, and I would be able to get her in a chair and do breathing exercises with her and kind of do the breathing and control the seizures.
Very good.
And she also quit wetting herself when she'd have a seizure with the CBD. She didn't wet herself anymore. And that was a big issue with Christy, because She was a wine steward for Tulalip Casinos. And when she'd have a seizure, she's had a couple seizures at work, you know, she'd wet herself, and it was embarrassing. And once she started doing the CBD oil, she was aware of her surroundings and wouldn't have grand mal seizures anymore. She knew she was having a seizure, but she was aware of her surroundings, and she knew, and her boss was really good at knowing when she was going to have seizures so he could sit her down. But the big thing is she quit wetting herself.
That is fantastic. And this is what I've seen with other families who report using cannabis oil, that it sometimes even relieves the number of seizures.
Yes.
And did the number of the number of seizures go down also? So you have both the intensity?
Yes. Yes, it did. It did. And that's why we thought that we were, you know, that she was going to be okay, because the seizures were, you know, she wasn't having as many as she used to.
Okay. And was she taking the cannabis oil when she passed away?
Yes, she was. And okay. I think the reason that happened, I think the reason is because she hated taking the medication. And I think that she cut her medication off too soon and was just totally being reliant on the oil. And I think that she should have stuck with the medication and the oil for a while until, you know. So yes, it does. But the CBD does work. I watched it with my own eyes.
Many of the girls report intractable pain. In other words, the head pressure, what they're feeling, this meninges, if you know, that's what, you know, they're affected
right.
with, is no other cocktail or of drugs, or no other drug can really get in there and, you know, take away that pain. It's intractable, the term intractable
right.
then. But the CBD oil, if it doesn't remove it completely, it does go ahead and greatly reduce the intensity.
Yeah.
So
she was probably right before she passed. She passed on a Monday. The weekend before, she went water rafting, which I was totally against. And she told me that, Mom, I'm a big girl. I have to live my life. You've got to let me do this. And I was scared to death. But she did it, and she was fine. She had a great time. And the weekend before she passed, she had probably one of the best weekends of her life, because she said that she is not going to let epilepsy control her life, and that she was going to do the things that she wants to do. And then she was taking a shower and had a seizure.
Now, was this when, what time of day did she take the shower, may I ask?
It was in the morning.
Okay.
It was at 9:30.
Now,
well, she was in the shower at 9. I woke up and I had to use the bathroom, and we have one bathroom. Well, at the time we had one bathroom. And I went to go into the bathroom like I normally would do. And then I stopped myself and I said, no, she said that I have to let her live her life. So I sat down in the chair, and then I noticed that she'd been in the shower for quite a while, you know, 10, 15 minutes, but it had been going before that. And I thought, well, and I was just getting ready to get up to check on her. And that's when her boyfriend went in and found her.
Oh.
So and trying to call 911, and I should have used my house phone. That is a big thing, is if you need to call 911, use your house phone, not your cell phone, because she kept asking me the same question over and over. What's your address? What's your address? I'm like, I've given you my address 4 times. Where is the 8 car? And it took them probably 10 minutes to get here, 10, 15 minutes. And her boyfriend was doing CPR on her. And I had to run out and call the cop that lives across the street from us to come and take over because he couldn't do it anymore. He was tired. So it took a long time for the 8 car to get here.
Okay.
So, but anyway, so that is my story. And I just hope that parents are do their research, because it's not fun to have a sick child.
Okay. Patty, that was beautiful.
The what?
That was beautiful. You know, the story. And I'm so sorry, you know, that it had to happen. But I would really want you to consider possibly thinking that, was it definitely a seizure?
Yes. Yeah, it was definitely a seizure.
Okay. It wasn't just her losing consciousness.
Well, actually, you know, I'm not positive.
Okay.
Because I wasn't in the shower with her, so I don't know.
The reason I'm saying is
when if it was a seizure or she lost consciousness, she came down and smacked her the right side of her head on the tub, and then the mat went over the drain and filled up the tub and she drowned.
Okay.
So we're I mean, we're pretty sure that it was a seizure.
Okay. I mean, because the reason I'm saying is there is another girl who died who did not have seizures. She died in the same manner.
Oh, okay.
She was 16 at the time. And same situation, went to take a shower, was a little cold in the morning. She, you know, took a hot shower. And what I'm going to ask is, did your daughter typically take a hot shower?
Yeah, she always took hot showers. But it was also, she wouldn't have been cold. Well, she might have been, but it was summertime. So okay. It was in August, late okay. August. So it was nice. It was hot out.
Okay.
So,
and the next question I would think was, she dehydrated at all? Did she do something the day before that would have...
Christy always had water. She drank a lot of water all the time. The medication that she was on always made her really thirsty. So she was always, you know, she always drank a good amount of water. So I don't think dehydration would have been an issue.
Okay. The less fluids in her, the hotter the shower, the more likely... if she had eaten something that she was sensitive to the day before, typically, if she, that night, and typically it's going to be something like, and you're probably going to laugh at this, maybe a bowl of strawberries, certain fruits. What?
Really? Because I know her and her boyfriend were juicing a lot.
Okay.
Because they were trying to flush out their, you know, she was trying everything. Trust me, she was trying everything to not have seizures.
And so, she was on the right track. But here's the catch. Unless you take meals, if you do a cleanse and what have you, ideally you want something with fiber in it. Because when, Otherwise, the body is very efficient at going ahead and reabsorbing a lot of this stuff, you know, a high percentage of it, if you don't have fiber to absorb it or something. And, you know, you just keep on this vicious cycle. So it sounds like she was on the right track. And with your help, you know, you're moving forward.
She would research stuff. She studied stuff. I mean, she was pretty intelligent that way. Always doing research and stuff. That's why I couldn't understand why she didn't research that vaccination before she did it.
When you are put on the spot and you have a doctor saying this vaccine could save you from getting cervical cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, thank you so much for calling and talking with me.
The pleasure is mine.
I'll look forward to the link.
Very good.
All right. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. You take care, and God bless. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for all that you're doing for so many other parents and children so that they don't have to go through the same thing. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.